Welcome. I'm Victoria Schneps, and I am delighted to be doing our A-lister today. And do I have an A-lister for you? The wonderful Leonard Ashan, who is the CEO and president of Live On New York. But Leonard has many lives. Leonard does many things in his world, and he has come to this position as a person who would gives back to the community continuously. He has many degrees and in the health world. He's a lecturer at the University of Pennsylvania, Wharton School at the Delphi University, internationally as a lecturer, as an adjunct professor, and even now as a founder of the Leonard and Kimberly Ashan Family Foundation, giving back, giving back, giving back. But I am so proud to see you here, Lenny. So welcome.
Thank you for having me, Vicki. It's great to be here. Honored to be here with you.
Well, I'm glad my listeners can hear you and hear your mission, which is as CEO and president of Live On New York, is a critically important position. But I want to go back in years because, you know, you've lived many lives like me. I say that this is my eighth life being the CEO of Schneps Media. But I know you also have had many lives. But how did it start? What inspired you to be who you are, do you think, as a young kid growing up? Was there something?
So a lot. Everything around me is as so many children. And I think it's important for people to realize, I know we all say kids are sponges, but we've got to see what they're soaking up around them, right? So, I mean, I grew up in Howard Beach, Queens. My parents migrated to the U.S. in the 1960s. To be part of the American dream, which I'm so grateful for that they did, and so proud to have been born here and as an American, you know, a son of immigrants who came here for that. I have two older sisters. I got a praying mother, my father who passed away in 2007, but they all had a very strong foundation in faith and Christianity, community, and most of all, work ethic. You know, I'd say I was born with a plastic spoon in my mouth and, you know, became working class family by the time we were teens and watched my parents. But I think just even watching them so hard, the influence of seeing, not knowing what they were doing, but going to work every day, my dad working nights, coming home in the morning, sleeping, like I knew that whether it was nature or nurture or epigenetics, unlocking something, whatever it was, I know that my love of people, my love of the Lord and the work ethic instilled in me has been a great combo, something that is true. But again, like everything around me influenced me as a child. As inner city youth, you're exposed to so much and you have to make wise decisions about where the big holes are in the ground and how to avoid them and how to step over them. And stepping over them is hard. And, you know, if you can as a kid, you try to live vicariously through other people's mistakes, not their success. Everybody says, oh, live vicariously through people's success. I remember as a young kid and teen watching people make mistakes. And I was exposed to a lot of the older kids and, you know, in the park hanging out, just that environment. If you know anything about that area of Queens, you know, you don't watch the people making fast money or try to glorify that. You watch those around you who are making mistakes and you hope that you never make those mistakes. You internalize them and you ask yourself, had that happened to my friend or their dad or their uncle or their, you know, cousin? Like you ask yourself, had that happened? And I had lots of friends get caught up. It's a New York City story. Many lose their lives. You know, many also, you know, go to jail, make mistakes in life. And so many more who quickly, you know, recovered and built amazing lives today. And I think that a lot of what determined that path was how quickly they either learned from reflection in making those mistakes, from watching others, or learning from their own mistake. And I did the same. Constant, repeated feedback mechanism. Why did this happen? How did it happen? Could it happen to me? What do I need to do to avoid it? Or how can I avoid it? Especially as kids, watching older people around us make those choices. So choices influence your life. I know it sounds silly, but just be an observer and watch people and develop skills and an algorithm will eventually set in around where failures lead to success, and understanding how to then navigate success will become a more disciplined output of that. So yeah,
when you graduated out of Howard Beach, did you go away to school or what was your path out?
No, I stayed local and just went to universities but didn't live in them. So, you know, It's a great question, Vicky. So, when you grow up there, it's the entire world, and you're, believe it or not, insulated. And it's really not until you get out into the world that you're like, wow, we had it wrong, or wow, all of these wonderful things are going on in the world. And that's what school did for me. I was a public school boy. I went to John Adams High School, but once I graduated from there, I went to CUNY, got my prerequisites, ended up at Adelphi. Then, for my bachelor's degree, then went to NYU. Yeah, straight up there from there, Rutgers, Postmasters, Villanova, Wharton, and each of those created a network where I got to stand there and I got to learn from in the international community, and that just really opened up another world for me. I'll never forget my first time at Wharton when I stood up in a room and I gave a little speech to introduce myself. And for some reason, I try to wash out my New York accent, because who knows that they have a New York accent or not? It's just the way we speak, right? And I remember trying to wash that out as much as I can. And I was in Hong Kong, and I sat down, and everyone at the table who were international, like, we love your New York accent. And I remember just like, wait a minute, like, wow, So yeah, I never left the hood. I never left the neighborhood. Lived there even into my 30s before, moving out to Long Island. But I got the best of both worlds. I got to come back. I got to see. I got to remember. I got to travel. I got to go to the schools and build new networks, and then compare and contrast those, to build a life, and fail a lot, and fail a lot, in order to succeed.
Well, I see you as the most successful person doing such, I don't know, it's almost like God's work with Live On New York. Talk to us a little bit about how you came to that position and what that world is really affecting thousands and thousands of people's lives. It's a very extraordinary organization. So tell us a little about
Yeah,
the
I'm
mission of
blessed.
Live On New York.
Sure, I'm blessed to be able to do it. As you know, I'm a business person and a healthcare operator. So I was in the hospitals for the majority of my career, 23, 24 years before coming to Live On. And in New York, New York didn't invest in organ donation education. We didn't invest in teaching. The organization has been around for about 50 years. Live On New York is a federally designated nonprofit. They're
Well, wait a
responsible.
second. I hope you're not being effective federally designated. Does that mean you're going to be in danger of losing some money with all those cuts?
No, I don't. No, I don't believe so. We won't. We
Okay.
don't. We don't fit that. We don't fit that category per se. But you never know, because that's the right answer. The right answer is you never know, right? But yeah, so we're a nonprofit here in New York. We serve 13 million lives across 100 hospitals. And at the end of the day, what are we there for? We're there for giving everyone the opportunity to say yes or no to donation. And that is definitely a New York style flavor, because that's not what many people might say across the United States. They may think it's about getting people to say yes, and that's not the case. We're a human rights organization. We're all about giving people that opportunity to have a legacy, to live on, to help others. But there's a big gap. And that gap was that a lot of people like me did not understand donation. We did not know the power of it. And even through my career, through two academic medical centers, medical school, nursing school, all of that, it was not taught in New York as it is in many other states. So I realized when I was called, there was an ask of me to go into an appointed position for the state that I said no to. It kind of woke up a different recruitment sector that then was like, wow, Lenny, you're going to leave the hospitals and, go do this. And let's talk about nonprofits. And they called me about this. And Vicky, what I realized very quickly was that I was the problem as a New Yorker, as a minority, as a nurse, as a healthcare administrator. When I listened to the committee and I listened to these board members talk about New York being the worst at this in the United States, I realized that I was also guilty. And that shame in that moment made me realize, like, wait a minute. So what if I'm the prosecutor who could go become the defense attorney? What if I'm the police officer who could go become internal affairs? Like, I represent all of the issues and I'm guilty of them. But in that moment, I knew that I missed something for 23 years as a nurse, as an administrator, as an executive, as a community member. So the strategic plan that was written was against the me's, right? Even Vicky, I believe the you's, right? All of the New Yorkers who had a gap And look, we like to fill in the blanks. You give us a sentence with a blank in it, we're going to fill it with whatever we want, what we just heard, what we think, what we're opinionated on, or what we just watched on TV. And that's where a lot of the urban legends and myths, believe it or not, 4 years ago, I believed 50% of these urban legends and myths that I no longer believe, that I no longer are true. And that was as a operator, that was as a healthcare operator, business operator. So that was what happened. It was very simple. Nothing innovative, nothing magical, nothing incredibly, extraordinary. We went back to 1978 and 1982, and we read the way that this was supposed to be created. And it was created to give people the opportunity to say yes or no if they wanted to live on, have a legacy, and save lives. We got away from that in New York. And we had to go back to the origin. They got it right, Vicky. And that's all we really did. We went back to the original intent and we said, you know what? You can't have a recipient without a donor. It doesn't matter if it's Christmas, Hanukkah, or organ donation. For a recipient to exist, you need a donor. And the donor was not honored. The donor was not asked. The donor, we weren't showing up to ask families and ask people if they wanted to do that or not. That was the big plan. The big plan, and thanks to Schnepps and thanks to what you've done, we love you guys. I mean, grassroots, every community. We have the same people that we serve, right? The New York community, New York Metro. And you've been an unbelievable part of that strategy, which is to get the word out, to show the story, to show the reality, so that somebody who looks like me could say, oh, we do that, we donate, right? And it's New York, Vicky, right? We have a tough role. Our staff's got a tough role. There's a lot of darkness in New York and how people pass away. And one of the things that we are very pleased with and very happy about is it's not just about donation, but it's about the stories of New York and it's about community. You have a kid who in the Bronx a year or two ago left a PAL basketball game wearing the wrong color hoodie. He was shot 5 times. His mother gets to be remembered in that community, and his life and legacy gets to be remembered in the community as the kid who got shot in a gang initiation that went wrong. But no, that kid was on the front page of the newspaper because he saved 6 lives as an organ donor.
Wow, I've got
And that
chills.
story changes, right? Officer Mora in early 2022, when Mayor Adams first came in, Officer Rivera and Mora were executed, killed. Officer Mora became an organ donor. The headlines of the paper were 3 times a hero, right? Which we wrote collaborating with NYPD comms. 3 standing ovations at St. Patrick's Cathedral every time organ donation was mentioned. That was a pivotal change and moment in one of the largest, most televised funerals in New York City's history for these officers, right? But that story isn't now that he got executed in that way, in that violence and darkness. The story are the 5 lives that he saved as a result of that and his family. So we get to see now what are thousands incrementally. Organ donations increased 70% in 3 years. It's been a phenomenal journey to, because we knew that New Yorkers are the most generous people on earth. We knew they just had to be asked, and the gaps
Yes.
had to be closed, and the urban legends had to be removed. So we're doing everything we can. We're in the community, we're in the high schools, we're in the nursing schools, we're in the medical schools, we're bringing people to the offices, we're showing them the reality of donation. And we've worked with media to now achieve over, close to 9 billion earned media views about
Wow,
donor
that's
heroes.
short.
Yeah, about donor heroes, right? Not just the recipient swinging the golf club because they're alive, but the legacy of the story of the person who saved those lives. So that creates an effect in the community where we now lead the nation in organ donors older than 65. We lead the nation in organ donors that are Black. We lead the nation in rescuing kidneys that would otherwise be thrown away. And Livon's one of the leaders in the country in 3 years, but only because of the grace of the community here in the New York Metro region who trusted us and said, you know what? Maybe this wasn't the right myth or urban legend I should believe. And they stepped up and have increased donations significantly. So that's
So
really.
what, yeah. So Lenny, what would you say, a person listening to our podcast together? What would you say they need to do? Is there anything that we need to do? I used to hear about when you get your driver's license, you can say something, but
Yeah.
how can they participate and be able to? Is it something you've got to pre-plan or tell us how the process
Yeah.
works?
So, believe it or not, 80% of the donors in the New York metro region that ultimately saved lives, their family members made the decision for them because they were not on the registry when we enter the hospitals. So that's pretty that we have a lot of work to do there. So please consider, if you know it today, sign up to be an organ donor if you choose to be. If
Where
not,
did they sign up and how did
they
they
could
sign up?
go, they could do it at the DMV. They could do it on the
Okay.
New York State Donor Registry or the National Donor Registry. But the most important thing, tell your family what you represent. Tell them that you want to live on and you want to help others live on and you want to leave a legacy of saving a life and being a donor hero if that's what you choose. And your family will step up when the time comes and make that decision for you if you're not on the registry. If you want to relieve them of that burden, which we advocate for, sign up today and become an organ donor so that that doesn't need to take place in a very tough time for your family. But
Well,
either
what
way,
about, can you put that in your will?
yes, yeah, you could do advanced
Or is
directives. You
it too
could.
late? Because I know in a
You
story,
could.
my daughter, when she passed away, may she be blessed, we donated only, we could only donate her cornea because
Yeah.
of time factor.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, thank you for that. The family and your daughter's gift of sight to somebody is just unbelievable. You know, tissue donors, we often talk about organ donation, and yes, an organ donor could save 8 or 9 lives. But a tissue donor changes the lives of up to 75 to 80 people. One, right? Gift of sight, right? Skin, bone, heart valves, et cetera, et cetera. There are so many things that people don't realize, and you might be at the dentist soon, and they may say, "Hey, we're going to put this implant in, or we're going to put this dust in, or we're going to." Guess what? That comes from a tissue donor who said yes to donation. So,
Remarkable. Well,
yeah,
I just
exactly.
want to share, with us that, Lenny, you have had a journey of a life, and you've given back in many different ways. What advice would you give to people who want to be as successful as you? What do you think was something that you could pass on to them from your seat, and
Yeah.
be able to encourage other people?
Sure. So what I love to tell people, because I face it almost every day, is that, you know, there's doing the easy thing and then there's doing the right thing. And success is a dangerous word because depending on what you want to be successful at, you know, it's a tough word to synthesize. But what I will say is don't compromise integrity for success. Do the right thing, you know. If you have a true north, you have a thesis, and that involves doing the right thing by people, I do promise you, you're going to win. And success isn't about money, and success isn't about any particular thing. It's about if you're a good person and you're doing good things and you set that goal, please just keep doing the right thing. Because as you do the right thing and as you become more successful, it gets very lonely and you become increasingly challenged with doing things that compromise that. So just stay focused, stay on your true north, understand what you want to do, and keep moving in that direction. For me, it was just a big blur. I kept my head down, I kept moving. And now, only in retrospect, can I say that to you. It may sound right, but for me, it's just my life. I hope that that helps you in some way.
Well, it's been a blessing talking to you, Lenny
You too,
Ash
Vicky.
Ashan. Lenny, you have influenced and helped, probably turns out, millions of people with the work you do and the impact you're having. I'm so delighted to have had as my guest Lenny Ashan, who is the CEO and president now of Live On New York. This
Thank
is
you.
Victoria Schnepp saying, till next time, bye now.